From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Passover at Gilgal, Feasting on Christ, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 33 and verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. Perhaps no figure of speech represents God in a more gracious light than when He is spoken of as stooping from His throne and coming down from heaven to attend to the wants and to behold the woes of mankind. We love Him who, when Sodom and Gomorrah were full of iniquity, would not destroy those cities until He had made a personal visitation of them. We cannot help pouring out our heart in affection for our Lord, who inclines His ear from the highest glory and puts it to the lip of the dying sinner, whose failing heart longs after reconciliation. How can we but love Him, when we know that He numbers the very hairs of our heads, marks our path, and orders our ways? Especially is this great truth brought near to our heart when we recollect how attentive He is, not merely to the temporal interests of His creatures, but to their spiritual concerns. Though leagues of distance lie between the finite creature and the infinite Creator, yet there are links uniting both. When a tear is wept by thee, think not that God doth not behold. For like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Thy sigh is able to move the heart of Jehovah. Thy whisper can incline His ear unto thee. Thy prayer can stay His hand. Thy faith can move His arm. Think not that God sits on high, taking no account of thee. Remember that however poor and needy thou art, yet the Lord thinketh upon thee. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. Oh, then repeat the truth that never tires. No God is like the God my soul desires. He at whose voice heaven trembles, even He, great as He is, knows how to stoop to me.
Strong in my need, He leads me on.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Please note that because of the increased cost of international postage, we are unable to mail materials outside the continental United States. Before the children of Israel could begin the conquest of the Promised Land, there had to be spiritual preparation. The first was the reinstitution of the rite of circumcision, the covenant mark of the nation of Israel. In chapter 5 of Joshua, verses 10 through 12, we read of the resuming of the Passover feast, something the children of Israel had not kept since the first anniversary of the Exodus. Before the battle for the land of Canaan could begin, Israel had to be reminded of the relationship between their redemption from the bondage of Egypt and the possession of the Promised Land. Dr. Cairns has been demonstrating the New Testament link between Israel's reinstitution of the Passover feast with the believers feasting upon Christ crucified as the key to entering into all that the Savior had purchased for his people. For Israel, the resumption of the Passover feast was an act of testimony to what God had already done for them in Egypt. Similarly, the communion table reminds New Testament Christians of what Christ did for them at Calvary. Redemption has purchased for believers a rich inheritance of spiritual blessings. As we'll see, every part of our inheritance is a direct result of what Christ did on the cross. Then it is feeding on Christ that makes us fit to enter the fullness of our inheritance in Christ. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, the Passover at Gilgal, feasting on Christ.
Let's learn this. God has not brought us out of Egypt to leave us in the wilderness. Now there's manna, as we see a little later, there's manna in the wilderness. For God is gracious to all whom he redeems out of Egypt. And even when our follies keep us short of the fullness of blessing, yet God ministers manna to us. But God never intended us to live from day to day in the wilderness. He intended us to get into Canaan. That's why he emphasizes throughout the New Testament the fullness of Christ. John 1:16, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace. The idea of God giving us fullness. The psalmist had the same idea in the 68th Psalm when he said, he daily loadeth us with benefits. He loads us with benefits. He piles one benefit upon another benefit and another. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, to which I've made partial reference already. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. And the words ye are complete are very, very closely related to the idea of fullness. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's a very big statement. What it is saying, I believe, is that in Christ, our mediator, dwells every communication of grace, every communication of God's favor and blessing, everything that was needed for the full accomplishment of his work, the giving of the Spirit without measure. All that fullness resides in Christ, and ye are filled full in him. Ye are filled full in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I like that little bit added on to the end, because it tells me there's not a power of hell either has the right or the ability to keep a Christian from enjoying the fullness that is in his living head. Ephesians 3:19, Paul prayed that we might know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Redemption has purchased our rich inheritance. But let us keep this in mind, that every part of our possession is directly the result of Christ's atonement. Remember what I said, Canaan always comes because of Calvary. Canaan always comes because of Calvary. It's the Lord's purpose that his people grasp this, remember it, and live by it. Think again of Joshua's action of testimony here. Joshua's action made the children of Israel think. That's always a good idea. If you can get Christians to stop sleeping long enough to think, you're doing a good job. He made them think clearly about their debt to redeeming grace. This observance of the Passover faced them with the question, How did you escape from Egypt? How did you cross the Red Sea? How did you survive the rigors of the wilderness? How did you get over the River Jordan? How will you lay hold of your possessions? And in every case, the answer would be in the Passover, because of our Passover lamb. We should never forget the same truths. How were you justified? Freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Or as Romans 5:9 puts it, justified by His blood. How were you sanctified? Hebrews 10, by the blood of the covenant. How were you cleansed? 1 John 1:7, by the blood of Jesus Christ. How were you delivered from the bondage of this world? Galatians 1:4 says He has redeemed us from this present evil world. How do you get victory? By the blood of Christ, for they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How can we approach unto God? Hebrews 10:19 says, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How will we enter into heaven? What are these that are arrayed in white robes? These are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In glory, they say, Christ has redeemed us, and that's why we're here. Oh, that we would grasp this. We have a rich inheritance. But never focus on the blessing to the exclusion of the blesser. Never focus on the gift and forget the ground in which it's given. There is a direct connection between the atonement of Christ and every aspect of the blessing of God for the people of God. This realization is absolutely vital to the believer's progress. If you think of it, this is something that's vital to give you courage to go on. You see, as you live this life, you're bound to realize the enemies out there are too great for me. The powers of hell, they're too much for me. But once you recognize this, Christ's blood has purchased these things for me, then you have the power to recognize I'm not left to fend for myself. Christ did not shed His blood simply to bring me out of Egypt and then pat me in the back and say, now go do the best you can. But the very blood that bought me is blood that keeps me. It is blood that protects me. It is blood that gives me victory. It is blood that leads me into the presence of God to give prevailing prayer. It is blood that will mark me forever and guarantees my safe arrival in glory. Well, that's the thing to recognize. You're not left to fend for yourself. We must grasp that Christ has purchased every needed blessing. When I say we must grasp it, let me change the wording and say that we must feast on it. That's the picture in the Passover. They were eating. They were feasting. And if we don't feast on it, we will certainly wilt in the face of the foe. That's why many Christians are wilting. That's why many Christians are defeated. That's why many Christians are living, as I say, like paupers when they ought to be princes. They are not feasting on Christ. That leads me, therefore, to say that as I think of this act of testimony, not only has redemption purchased a rich inheritance, not only is every part of that possession directly the result of Christ's atonement, but feeding on Christ is necessary to make us fit to possess our Canaan. Feeding on Christ is what makes us fit to possess our Canaan. Now, in our Bible reading, there are three pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one on whom we feed. First of all, there's the manna. That was the wilderness food. Christ linked that with himself as the bread of life. He came down from heaven. The manna is in itself a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll not trace the analogy any further at the moment, but all that the Bible says in describing the manna is a beautiful picture of Christ, the bread of life who came down from heaven. That was the wilderness food. He led them and he fed them. But then there was the Passover. What does the Passover say? It says, Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ is our total sacrifice, our total salvation, to bring us beyond the wilderness and bring us into blessing. And then there's the corn of the land, the fruit of the land. That's the fruit of resurrection. Because that's the resurrection side of the Jordan of death. That's the fruit of resurrection. There's the threefold view of Christ. I want to be very careful what I say, because isolated in and of itself, as I've indicated, the manna is a beautiful type of Christ. But it's not isolated here. And when you look at it in conjunction with all the rest, the manna had to cease. The manna had to come to an end. Could I say that there was a distinct lack of variety in the diet that the children of Israel had in the wilderness? Oh, they could put the manna to various uses, but it's a very limited number of uses. We are told how it tasted, and it was good. But there certainly wasn't the breadth or the scope that they would have in the provisions of the promised land. Is that not a picture of so many Christians? If you're saved at all, you're feeding on Christ to some level. But there are an awful lot of Christians who are still at the wilderness level. They have a very, very narrow grasp of Scripture. They have a very, very shallow experience of Christ. There's not much variety. There's not much scope. There's not much extension or progress in their spiritual grasp of grace. We need to enter into all that Christ our Passover signifies, not only to be content to be out from under the curse, to wallow in the wilderness until we die, but to be out of the wilderness and into the fullness. Into the fullness. It's our birthright. Oh, that we would get to eat the fruit of resurrection, the fruit of Canaan. How do you do it? How do you get to the fruit of Canaan? By an active appropriation of all that Christ has done for us. That's why Joshua's act of testimony was so vital. It taught the children of Israel that they must enter into Canaan by feasting on their Passover. And so must we.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge. simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.